Exodus chapter 14 here. I probably seem a little bit zoned this morning. I asked you to pray for me. I'm just not feeling very well. And I don't need no sympathy or anything. It just had a long week, and my health hasn't been. I don't know how to say it. I'm not sick enough to be in bed, but I wouldn't mind to be in bed. You understand? How many have ever felt that way? You know, you're wore out. My back is tired. My legs are tired. My head is tired. Just need some Holy Spirit unction this morning. I was studying the word unction this week in 1 John there. And what a great word. It's the word, the Hebrew word there's charisma. And it's where we get our word charisma. And it's where the idea is the spirit of being able to, they would use the word back in that day to what the doctors would use to rub ointment or use something to an ointment of some sort to heal people. And I'm asking God to give me some Holy Spirit unction this morning, that I can give you something that'll rub it on your hurts and rub it on your stresses and messes. And by the Holy Spirit, He can help heal you this morning, because I can't possibly do that. Sometimes I get in the temptation of getting in the flesh. There's no temptation of getting in the flesh this morning. The flesh is weak. And so I'm just asking God to give me some strength this morning. I ask you to pray for me, if you would. So we've been talking about somebody named it my Dr. Seuss series. Every title has been one that rhymes. And so we've talked about getting, when God puts us in the middle of life's messes and stresses, when God puts us in a situation that seems like it's trapping us, it seems like we have no way out, it seems like if we look on the horizon, it doesn't look good. If we say, well, I'm going to turn back and go back the other way, that doesn't look good. I'm going to look for a way out and left and right. And there's just no way out. There's just no way to escape. I am going to be in this situation. God has put me in this situation. I'm going to be in this situation until further notice from Him. And so as we talked about Israel in Exodus chapter 14, God says they're going a certain way. And God spoke to Moses, said, speak to the people. And the Bible says, and God turned them. Isn't it amazing that they could have probably had less of a trap, less of a headache, less of a mess and a stress? But God turned them right where He wanted them. Etham on their left, Migdol on their right, the Red Sea in front of them, and Pharaoh behind them. And He puts them in a trap, basically. He puts them in a mess. And all the things that God does are for a purpose. And God ordains these things in our life. And we said the first principle that we've got to understand in life's messes and stresses is I am where I am because it's a part of His plan. I don't like the plan sometimes, and I don't like the rewriting of my script sometimes. I have it written out how I want it to go. I have it where I believe that I would have it to be comfortable, or I would have it to go this way and that way. And God sometimes has a different plan, but I am where I am because it's a part of His plan. I have to trust His providence. I have to trust that He's looked out further than where I'm at. And that He is guiding and directing my life in a way even when I mess up. Anybody ever messed up? I've messed up. But the Bible doesn't say when I mess up, all of a sudden God puts His hands off and says, good luck. I am where I am because it's a part of His plan. I would say this to you. You're not big enough to mess up God. Matter of fact, the only other powerful person on the face of the earth that could possibly try to mess with God's plan is Satan. And he is already defeated. Amen. And so he is existing to try to get back at God's people, but in the end, he loses. We know he loses. We know he's going to be in chains. We know God's going to throw him in a pit and he's going to be in hell for all of eternity. We know that he loses. And so the only next powerful person, the prince and the power of the air, the power of darkness, he can't even mess up God's eternal plan. And so when I mess up and I give in to the world, the flesh of the devil, I can't possibly mess up what God is doing. So I am where I am because it's a part of His plan. You've got to step back and trust God's providence. The fact that God looks in the future, that's what providence means. God looks in the future and is able to get me from here to there in the correct way, in the right way, in the way that He chooses, and I just have to trust that providence. Number two, we said this. We said, Lord, the second principle is this, Lord, help me see it's not about me. Lord, help me see it's not about me. We said an alternate title can be this, Lord, it involves me, but it's not about me. The trial that God has me going through, the Bible says all things were made by Him and for Him. Every trial that God has ever put us in, we see in Exodus chapter 14, He said, Israel, Moses, I put you right here before Pihahiroth, the mouth of the Red Sea. I put you before Beelzebub, you're going to the other side, but until I take you to the other side, I'm putting you exactly where I want you. And here's why. Because I am going to get the glory. Because you can't possibly defeat. You're not even an army. You're just a bunch of slaves. You can't possibly defeat Pharaoh. You can't possibly defeat the strongholds of Egypt on your left and right. And you certainly can't take on 600 feet of water without me. So you are where you are because it's a part of my plan. But number two, it's not about you. It's about me. He says in verse number three, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled. We've got them. We're going after them. It is bad news for Israel. But verse 4, he says, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, and the Egyptians, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. So everything that God is doing is for His honor, for His glory. So the trial, the mess, and the stress that you find you're in, stop being so selfish with it. Well, I'm uncomfortable. It's not about you. It's not about your comfort level. Well, I don't like what's happening. It's not about you. You got to get used to what you're going through because God wants to get the honor and glory for what you're going through. Amen. I don't like the health that I have right now. Well, it's not about me. And the weaker I get, Paul said, the weaker I get, the stronger he becomes. And so sometimes, so that I'm not prideful, and sometimes so that you're not prideful, God has to remove or weaken our flesh, and He has to take us to a place where we think, I can't possibly do this. And He says, you're in the exact spot I want you. Now I can get the glory. Amen. Lord, help me see, it's not about me. Lord, I messed up my job. I did something at the job I shouldn't have done, or I lost my job, and there's some insecurity in my family. Well, God can get the glory for that. I messed up my marriage. You wouldn't believe what I've done. I've messed it up. I fell in the stupid pit. I just messed the whole thing up. That's okay. When you mess it up, that means God can fix it. And God can put it back together. And this time He can put it back together stronger than what you had together. Because obviously you were trying to keep it together with your own super glue. He can put it together with Holy Spirit super glue and it'll be better in the end. So we trust Him and help us to see, Lord, it's not about me. Number three, we said this, the third principle that I've got to understand. Not only must I trust God's providence, must I not only need to see it from His perspective, that it's Him that needs to get the glory. But we said number three, we said there's a priority that has to happen in every mess and stress of life. And it is this, I'm aware Satan's there, but I am safe in God's care. See, I have to do what God wants me to do in the mess and the stress. I have to go where God wants me to go, and I have to exist where God wants me to exist, and I have to go through the doors that God wants me to go through. And although I am aware, very aware, that Satan is there, that Satan is coming after me, that he's as a roaring lion, seeking, walking about, seeking whom he may devour, throwing those fiery darts at me on a continual basis. That is who Satan is, and that is what Satan does. I'm aware he's there. But one of the greatest mistakes that Christians make is their priority ends up being they're fighting everything behind them. They're fighting everything around them. They're looking at the impossible mountain in front of them. That is not the priority in the mess and the stress. The priority is I've got to get closer to God. I can't, listen, I figured out in the trials of life, I cannot fix them myself. So the greatest place I could be in the messes and stresses of life, the distresses that have got me discouraged, that have got me despondent, that have got me somewhat in a spot where I just don't think there's any hope. I do know this, though, that if I will focus on the Lord and I will focus on what He wants me to do, I am safe in the care of God. I am safe exactly where He wants me to be. It was told the king of Egypt in verse number 5 that the people fled and that the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this? That we have let Israel go from serving us. And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal Zephon. There is no doubt Israel knows Satan's there. That Pharaoh is coming after them. And it is no doubt if you are a child of God that Satan is not going to sit back and just let you be a Christian. He is not going to let you just walk into work and have a Christian testimony without tempting you. There's no way that he's going to let you have a strong Christian marriage without bringing some kind of temptation, some kind of trial, some kind of financial situation, some kind of health situation. Remember when you said those vows through the good and the bad? That means I got to trust him in the bad. That I said till death do us part. Now I might kill my spouse and that would separate us for sure. I'm sure my wife has been tempted to kill me every once in a while. And so she can get out of her vows. So death do us part. Okay, if that's what it takes. And we're going to do that. We've been married 17 years as of today. Amen. I love my bride. She's wonderful. She's beautiful. She's amazing. She's got wisdom. She's got grace. She's meek. And she lets me make fun of her all the time. And she only beats me up a little bit. So I can tell you why my back and my legs hurt today. I talked back to her yesterday. So there's some consequences for just stepping out there and mouthing off to your wife. I mean, there's just baseball bats and frying pans involved. She says sometimes we get home, she says, stop telling people that. She says, they think I'm abusive towards you. Yeah? Am I painting it wrong? Or just kidding. She's funny. But the priority in this mess and this stress, I have to make sure that I stay focused on God. Hey, listen, there's nobody else that can fix this mess except God. So I can't give in to Satan right now. I can't get so discouraged. I can't lash out. I can't turn around and start fighting Pharaoh. That is my end. I'm going to end myself if I do that. We're done if we turn around. If we try to go back through that wilderness, if we try to escape over the mountains, if we try to find a way out, we are done. Lord, please help me to stay focused on you. Help me to know that Satan's there, that he's real, that I do have to answer to some of those things. I do have to be aware that he's there. I do have to realize the temptation he had. I do have to realize where my weaknesses are. Some of you would say, I'm trying to get away from some bad habits. You have to be aware that he's there, and that's how he works, and that's how he comes after you, and that's how he tempts you. But you have to stay focused. Your priority has to be in God's care. I've got to stay in church, Lord. Help me to stay faithful to church. Help me to stay faithful in my Bible. Help me to stay faithful in prayer. Help me to stay faithful to be around other good Christian people. Help me to give me wisdom to say the right thing to that person that is causing that mess in my life. Help me to not respond when I don't need to respond. Lord, help me be aware that Satan's there. But help me to be assured that you're there. That's the priority in every trial and tribulation. We said last Sunday night, fundamental number four, the principle that we must remember is that God may have led me this way to teach me to pray in a new way. God may have led me this way to get me to pray in a new way. We looked at several passages in Exodus. In Exodus chapter 2, the Bible says that Israel cried. Basically, it ends up saying their groanings. They basically complained. We are good at complaining, aren't we? It's not fair. In that voice, too. That's the way we do it. It's so dramatic. It's not fair. Or like the movies, we drop on our knees and say, no! Not me, Lord. I don't deserve this. I mean, I have been so good to them. I have done so much for them. I have been so good. I don't deserve this. Well, that's where we have to step back and say, you know what? I might be where I'm at because God is simply wanting me to grow closer to Him and to exalt Him in my life and to grow closer than I ever have. It's amazing. In the trials of life, someone said that fear that faith is like film. It is developed in the dark. It is something that is brought out in the darkness of life. Our faith becomes stronger because God puts us in trials. In chapter 2, Israel cried. Basically, they complained about their situation. In chapter 5, the Bible says that Israel sent their captains to cry out to Pharaoh. To go to the person right under God that they think is in charge of the situation. That would be, I complained to I cried out to the boss, I cried out to the preacher, I cried out to my spouse, I cried out to everybody. And it still has not changed my situation. I mean, I went to everybody that could change the situation, it hasn't changed. In chapter 8, the Bible says Moses went to God and cried out. But it's not until chapter 14 when God puts them between Etham and Migdal, between the Red Sea and Pharaoh, and they are trapped and they see Pharaoh breathing down their neck. The Bible says in chapter 14 and verse number 10 that Israel cried unto the Lord. It's the very first time in the nation's history that they cried out to the right person. And sometimes God leads us into a trap, and God leads us into a mess, and God puts us in the middle of a stress so that we will pray in a new way, that we will see Him like we've never seen Him before, that we will trust Him like we've never trusted Him before, that we will fall upon Him as if we've never fell upon Him before. We begin to search His will. We begin to search the Scriptures in a new way. And it took that situation of God putting us there to get us to pray that way. And it's sad that sometimes God has to do that, but His ways are higher than our ways. What the devil meant for evil, my friend, God can mean for good, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And the mess you're in, and the stress you have, and the distress you are in at this moment might be happening so that you will get closer to Him and see Him in a whole new way through prayer. Prayer must be the priority in every mess and stress. And so I say this principle number 5 today is in chapter 14, a certain verse number 10. We've read it, but let's reread it, and then we'll go on to a few more verses here. It says, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Why does verse 14 have to be in there? Hold your peace. Here's the title today. Here's my next Dr. Seuss title. Stand still and let God work out His will. Stand still. Let God work out His will. You know, sometimes it's just a matter of fearing, worry, anger. That's what stress and messes bring. They bring all these emotions to the surface. The what ifs. What am I going to do? How am I going to live? How am I going to move on? How am I going to get through this? How am I really going to make it through this mess and this stress? And so we begin to try to find answers. All right, well, I'll go to the boss and I'll say this, and then I'll do this, and then I'll go to my wife, and I'll say this, and I'll do this, and with my health, I go to this doctor, this seems to be the better doctor, and I'll take this medicine and not this medicine, and we get all these plans, and we get all these things in motion, and none of it's working. Well, I'll write a letter, and I'll write an email, and then I'll write a card, and then I'll make a phone call, and then I'll send a text, and more, that'll really get her. That'll really show him. I hear Moses crying out this morning. Stand still. Your way hasn't worked up till now. You might want to just slow it down. All of your plans have been a disaster. All of your ways have been something that has ended in something that does not work. All of the ways that you thought you were going to take care of the mess and the stress, it has not really worked out for you. And you're kind of at a loss right now. And you might be at a place where you're trying to figure out, what's my next step? What's my next move? What's my next angle? What's my next thing that I could do to kind of get the upper hand here and really get this thing moving forward again? Because I don't like all this stuff around me. Pharaoh just got closer. The trial just got worse. The mess just got bigger. The stress is even more. It's breathing over my shoulder. It is in my space now. And I am bothered by that. It has become personal. Listen, I don't know what everybody else in here is going through this morning, but I do know this, that sometimes the answer is that we've just got to have a little bit of patience. Stand still and let God work out His will. Hold your peace. Israel, shut up. Oh, you brought us out in this wilderness and we could have died in Egypt and all the food we had. They sat by the pots and ate garlic and lentils. You weren't eating very well. When you died, they just piled you up and burned you. That's nice. They didn't even get to bury their dead. They were slaves. They didn't get the honor of a burial in Egypt. It wasn't so good. But the moment we get in trouble, here's what we do. We're just like Israel. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. One of those is true, and one of those is not. Serving the Egyptians was a real thing. Dying in the wilderness hasn't happened. Matter of fact, later in the scriptures, you'll find out that not one person had died in the journey from Egypt across the Red Sea. Not one Israel. God got the glory. Not one person died, and the entire Egyptian army died. So one of these statements is true. You can go back and do what you used to do because you don't want to face what's in front of you. One of them was a mess. The other one is just a stress. That's what stress is. Stress tells you things that aren't true and you make them a reality. Well, it's going to end in divorce. How do you know? Have you let God do anything with the situation yet? Have you stood still for 5 minutes and let God do His will? My marriage was a mess. One of those statements is true. It's going to end in divorce. You have no idea if that's true. You haven't let God do His will. I'm going to lose my job. It's a horrible workplace. Listen, one of those statements might be true. It might be a bad place to work. But you haven't lost your job. I didn't get the promotion I deserve. Have you stood still 1 minute and realized what God is trying to do? God's people need to learn patience in His messes and stresses. Because if you watch the world, they go to the psychiatrist and they go to the psychologist and they run to the secular counselors and they run to the courthouse and they run to all of these things and they run to the welfare office and they run to the unemployment office and they run to the pharmacy and they run to the hospital and they check in here and they check in there and they're running around trying to find the next answer and they're out on social media bashing everybody so that they look better. And they're trying everything they can to fix their mess and to fix their stress, the perception of what is about to happen. And Moses says, look, one of these things is true. We were the servants of Egypt. One of these things is not true. So quit talking for 5 minutes. And if you'll stand still, who knows? God just might decide to fix it. Stand still. And let God work out His will. I love in Romans 12:19 it says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. I read that verse about 10 times before I realized what it was saying. Give place unto wrath. I'm supposed to be angry all the time? No. The Bible says, don't avenge yourself. Step back and let God do it. Give place unto wrath. Let everybody else be angry. Let everybody else be running around. Let everybody else try to get up the ladder. Let everybody else try to jump over people and step on people. Let everybody else go to divorce as their first option. Let everybody else try to turn in somebody for this or that. Let everybody else take their messes and take their stresses. The perception of what's about to happen and live in that. But God's people need to step back and leave some room for God to work. God is a God of the impossible. Right when you are finished with it, right when you're at the point that there's no hope, that's exactly when God is able to step in. Lord, it's impossible. Good. Then step back and get your hands off it. God, the Red Sea is in front of us. Pharaoh's behind us. These cities are around us. We have no hope. We probably should have just stayed in Egypt. No. What you need to do is stand still and be quiet. And actually stop and pray. And actually get in God's Word. And actually stop mouthing off to everybody. And actually stop trying to defend yourself to everybody. And stop trying to send out emails and get on social media and telling everybody how right you are. You just need to step back and leave some room for God now. Because the only way you're getting through this is with God. Stand still. Stand still. And let God work out His will. As I look across the auditorium week after week in this series, I am privy as a pastor to certain things because I'm a pastor and sometimes I learn some things and sometimes I'm counseling folks and sometimes I'm just hearing things and praying for people until they share those things with me or the details of those things. But I know this, as I preach these messages, I see a Holy Spirit response more real than I've seen in a long time. I think these are messages, not because I'm preaching them, but I think the truth of Exodus chapter 14 is so real that it meets us where we're at. Isn't it amazing? God wrote this over probably 2,500 years ago, 2,800 years ago. And we can talk about Israel and we go, that's where I'm at. Stand still. I could probably use a dose of that. Be quiet. I definitely could use a dose of that. And I'm not going to say what gender in here needs to be quiet a little bit more, because I do not want to get myself in trouble with the women. So I am not going to say what gender needs to slow down and be quiet a little bit. Men, we are fixers. Women, we are shouters. We want this situation. Men want to fix it right away. Sometimes women just like to complain about it not being fixed yet. Right? If we're just honest. Men, I hate problem. What's the problem? I'll fix the problem. Give me a tool. I'll bash it. What's the fix for my marriage? Give me a hammer. That's not the answer. Having trouble at work? Give me a jackhammer. Let's go. I got problems? Give me a cement mixer. I will bury those problems. Ladies, you are great at standing still, but you're not so good at holding your peace sometimes. I thought you said you were going to fix it. I thought you said you were the man. Do you remember the vows you said at the altar? Does those mean anything to you? Oh, you're standing still. Man, we have a problem standing still. I was pacing the other day. I was disturbed about something. I'm pacing. And I know what I'm preaching today. I mean, I already had it ready. I'm pacing. My wife will tell you. I'm like, man, I can't wait to get to the pulpit Sunday and tell people to stand still and let God work out His will. I can't believe these people. They don't listen to me. They don't listen to the Word of God. Am I going to be preaching stand still? I got about halfway through that talk with myself and went, I haven't stood still for 4 seconds to let God work out anything in this situation. I just tired myself out. Men, we're not good at standing still. Ladies, please, let's work on holding our peace. And I'm not trying to be mean with that. That's just who we are as men and women sometimes. Sometimes you have a man who won't hold his peace. I don't understand those guys. They act like women. And I don't like when I see these women that can't stand still. Quit being a man. That's what men do. We pace. Quit pacing. You're supposed to be complaining right now. I'll do the pacing, you do the complaining. Let's get it right. This isn't going to work if you don't do your complaining while I'm doing my pacing. Hey, listen. Let us all determine in life's messes and stresses. Stand still. Hold our peace. Let God work out His will. Would you stand together for a word of prayer this morning?